Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Pull up a chair and kick up your feet as you get ready to enjoy some of the industry's most entertaining and actionable Dynasty content on the planet. We're talking veterans, rookies, sleepers, and oh yeah, you know the crew has those dad jokes ready for you. So let's not wait any longer and bring on the host or some combination of Doug and Tyler.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It has been an uneventful week. Free agency is wound down. We've got a couple signings, a little bit of news and notes, nothing crazy. But the focus of our episode this week is we are going to talk about this running back class, who a lot of people are like, ew. And I'm like, ooh, I like this value. So we're going to talk all about it. Jamie, hello in the chat. I'm here with Tyler. Tyler, you're at home tonight, so we know there won't be any internet issues, hopefully, and I won't have to keep talking while you disappear. So that's nice, but how are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, no talking like I'm on Unsolved Mysteries with the black background. Hey, yeah, and then I went into the parking lot, and he was just...
Is that your Robert Stack impersonation?
No, I'm talking about like when they're all silhouetted out. And they have, yeah. So, funny story. I know the NFL draft's coming up. Our first NFL draft show on DHH, Gabe Gearing was joining us for the whole thing. And he had very poor lighting. And that's all you saw was a silhouette. So, the whole entire episode, he's sitting still just going, yeah, so I really like this running back. And he's really good in the open field.
He's like, was it like this?
Except like you can't see anything. Like it was just a silhouette.
All you saw was a silhouette of a man bun.
Yes, pretty much. And it was a great episode.
Really tight jorts.
Yeah. But there's so many great NFL draft shows now that we don't do it anymore.
Yeah, that was fun. I was I think I was a part of one of those, if I remember correctly. I've been around for a while now. I'm feeling old. I'll be a little bit older tomorrow. It is my 46th birthday. So
46.
And this will be my 25th year in fantasy football. You know what else made me feel old? Is that The Matrix is 25 years old tomorrow as well. And I saw that in the theater on my 21st birthday. So
he had a beer and he's going to The Matrix, everybody. That's how old Doug Eddy is.
Yeah, I saw The Matrix in the theater. Hashtag old. So yeah, my 25th anniversary of The Matrix and of me playing fantasy football. So very, very exciting stuff.
Happy birthday. Exciting.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's get into some news. The big one happened yesterday. Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice caught on video, not only getting in an accident. We don't know if he was driving yet or whatever. And then walking away from said accident, just casually like, I'm not dealing with this. And obviously he is, came out from his lawyer. He's lawyered up, smart, that he's cooperating with the authorities. We don't know any details if he was driving, what his involvement was. We just know that the car was registered in his name. So that never looks good. I've seen some people panic selling because, Tyler, as you know, this happens all the time. There's like a sniff of legal trouble. We've seen it with Tyreek Hill. We've seen it with Adrian Peterson. You name the player. We've seen it over the years where Deshaun Watson is another great example. If you see a player that like, trouble, and people sell them on the cheap. I saw Rashee Rice go for the 210 yesterday, which is absurd because Rashee Rice's value before this was right around the 107, probably 108 ballpark.
Brian Thomas or Rashee Rice is probably who you're debating in rookie drafts. Like if you're lucky, you're trading them one for one for Brock Bowers, but that's probably like a non-tight end premium. Yeah. And that's like high-end price.
Yeah, my take on this is I'm not overly concerned. And yes, he was racing with another car. I saw the video. He has a Lamborghini SUV and he's racing with like a Porsche. And someone caught it on the dash cam, so you can see the whole thing. Thank you for Crooked Commission, the chat. Here's the thing. He might serve a suspension. I don't think it's going to be a lengthy one. We saw how long Tyreek Hill got suspended for and and Kareem Hunt got suspended for. And they did way worse things, in my opinion. So for me, I'm holding Rashee Rice. I'm not selling. I guess I would buy if the price was right. If you find an owner that wants to trade the 210 they'll take the 210 for Rashee Rice. Like I would do that in a heartbeat. I'm fine with that. I don't think this is a huge, huge deal.
Yeah. I think with the recent, Henry Ruggs incident, people are worried, but Henry Ruggs, let's not forget, killed somebody. So this is not that bad. Rashee Rice, if he was driving, this is a life lesson. Like, he got lucky, and nobody was really, like, somebody went to the hospital. It was a bad
decision. But it appears that everyone is okay.
Yes. But he got very, very lucky. Like, this was career ending. This was Henry Ruggs, if anything ever happened. I mean, they were flying down this freeway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see them come into frame, and it's like, oh.
So if I were to have to guess, I would have to say 2 to 4 games. Maybe even 6 if the commission wants to feel a little spicy. But it is the perfect Tyler buying window. Like, because there is worry out there that I even posted. I said, I'm waiting for the, hey, you should have sold Rashid Rice tweet to pop out. I told you to sell him. I was waiting for it. I was waiting to see it on the Twitter streets, but nothing popped up. And I was surprised, because usually there's one person that likes to bring that up.
Usually there's one person that'll put it out there.
I was never a big Rashid Rice person. He was fine. He's a fine wide receiver two player, but he's on a great offense, and I think he has the ability to get better. So if I'm looking at it and I can get him for a mid-second, I am smashing that every single day. He is a wide receiver 2-3 on your dynasty roster. He's going to start probably every week. And that's, like, very valuable. So, in my opinion, if there's any dip, check out. And I would definitely try to buy. I did. I've been trying to sell Jonathan Taylor for years now. So, I gave up.
You hate running backs, man.
I gave up Jonathan Taylor for Zach Charbonnet because I think he's going to blow up. And Rashee Rice. It's a 14-team league. I like depth. And that was...
It's important in that league.
That was a pretty good trade for me.
We should do a segment every week when we have trades, that we go over the trades that we do. That would be fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because I'm more of an active trader now, and you're like the most hyperactive ADHD trader I've ever met. So
what?
There's always something.
What? No.
You're always trading something, whether it's like, you know, paint on another car on the highway.
Or rocks.
Trading rocks, trading spit. So I'll leave the Rashee Rice stuff as that. As news comes out or anything, like, we'll obviously let you know. Not much else going on in the NFL. It's kind of that dead period where, you know, it's a lot of draft rumors. You know, the biggest draft rumor that we're hearing of a player that keeps ascending up boards, and now there's chat of Washington being interested at number 2. There's chat of New England being interested at number 3.
He's such a New England quarterback.
And that's J.J. McCarthy. He had his pro day. I thought he looked okay at his pro day. I'm not a huge McCarthy guy. Like, the system that he ran in college was just super basic. I think he has tools, but I think he's a bit of a project. So for me, like, to take him 2nd or 3rd overall in the draft, like, you're going to have to sit him, I think. I don't think he starts right away, but maybe I'm wrong. That's just my take on McCarthy. I don't think he reads the field really well, to be honest. So, but there's rumors now that Washington and maybe even New England, or there's going to be a team that wants to trade up to get him. Like, this is wild to me. I'm trying to think of a quarterback that ascended this much in the
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, probably. I mean, because Zach Wilson got all the way up to number 2 because he was quite hyped. And then McCarthy does the Zach Wilson throw crossbody deep in his pro day, and everyone's like, don't do that.
I actually did not like Zach Wilson. McCarthy, I think.
I know you didn't like Wilson.
He is a big time. Like, he's a baller. He's a winner. He's a winner.
He's smarter. Yeah. Zach Wilson, I don't think, was.
Like, Zach Wilson, if you watch his BYU tape, he would throw it to the outside, and everybody was like, oh, he's got such a big arm. I always felt that the DBs just stared at the throws as he's thrown to the boundaries. And it's like, this would be picked off. There were so many throws in my mind in Zach Wilson's career that I'm like, that's picked off. That's picked off in the NFL. That's going to be picked off. And look, it has been. With McCarthy, he's got good zip on the ball. He's smart with it, and I do agree he plays in the middle of the field too much at times, but I think that's a Michigan thing. Like, you looked at Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins were in Michigan, and they weren't big-time players on the outside. Like, yeah, they got some big-time plays, but it was very far and few. So I think better things are to come for McCarthy.
Yeah, they're a run-first offense.
And he definitely needs to be a scheme-fit guy. And Washington, that's not a good fit for me. I think Washington is just playing games. They are going to take Daniels.
You know, it's interesting because we had a lot of pro days this week. We had LSU's pro day, so we saw Jaden Daniels not do, like, the full throwing. He threw to his receivers, but he didn't do the throws that, like, Drake May did at his pro day. You know, just to circle back on LSU, you know, Malik Nabers definitely solidified himself as the wide receiver 1B, or even some even say the 1A in this class. You know, it's an interesting debate to have. And then Brian Thomas looks good as well. You know, we're going to talk about wide receivers next week, so we'll get a little bit deeper into them. But Jaden Daniels at the pro day, you know, he didn't do the full circuit of throws. I watched every single throw from Drake May's pro day, and I thought Drake May looked good.
He's so got a cannon.
I liked what I saw from Drake May. You know, he was right in it with his teammates, pumping them up. Like he was doing a really, really nice job. And I know he's probably been one of the most
hated.
Not even hated. I think his stock has dropped for no reason. Like he was everyone's second quarterback in this class the whole time. And then all of a sudden, Daniels has a season he had, and then McCarthy has a good season. You have Penix gets into the conversation and guys like that. And you know, I think the best thing I heard Josh Norris talk about it. They were talking about Drake May and the difference between May and guys like Daniels and Penix and Bo Nix. Those guys were all in college for 4 and 5 years. Drake May's 21 years old. Like Drake May has the least amount of experience outside of Caleb. And he had one elite season last year. He struggled a little bit, but there's reasons for that. And he's the younger prospect. He doesn't have as much tape or as experience. And I think
McCarthy's 20. Like, yeah, McCarthy's no, young.
I'm not lumping McCarthy in with some of those guys, though. I don't know.
I agree.
Just not a big McCarthy guy. But the thing with May is May had an elite season at the quarterback position. McCarthy, because of the offense that he ran, his numbers looked good, but he was never relied on to take over a game and win a game for them, is what I feel with Michigan.
Yeah.
Because they ran the football and played defense. You know, with May, the biggest thing with him is the age. And I think he's only going to get better as he gets into the NFL. And a lot of people are like, oh, he should sit for a year. And that may be true. But he strikes me the type that, like, yeah, he'll sit for like 5 or 6 games and then he's the starter. Like, that's kind of how I feel about May.
If I'm ranking quarterbacks, I think it's Caleb 1, mm-hmm. May 2A, Daniels 2B. Daniels scares me. There's something about Daniels that makes me nervous. I don't know what it is. It's something about it. He makes me a little nervous.
Is it the weird elbow?
No, it's not that. It's,
I don't care about that.
He missed a lot of throws that his receivers bailed him out. Like he's got Brian Thomas out there and Malik Nabers.
I'm worried that he's got two elite receivers, and they were a big factor in his success.
And I mean, people can go back to Joe Burrow with LSU and be like, well, Joe Burrow did it with two elite receivers. Yeah, I agree. But Burrow,
I mean, that's why people drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because he was part of that team.
But Burrow also has two elite receivers right now. Like, we're talking elite. And also, if Daniels goes two, he's got Terry and Jahan Dotson. But are they Jamar Chase and T. Higgins-esque?
No.
So for my money, I think I'm going to go with Drake May. I think the Vikings, it's something about it. Drake May is a Viking. I think they want
all. Have to...
Josh McCown, you know, was the high school coach with Drake May. They have just sucked all the info off of him. Hey, have you heard of Clyde Christensen? You know, the name
sounds familiar.
The quarterback guru whisperer that worked with Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. He actually is with UNC. And Pat McAfee talked about it, and he goes, Clyde Christensen said that he is Andrew Luck, like mentally, physically gifted. He's like, there's nobody that has reminded me of Andrew Luck more than Drake May. Like the way he carries himself and the way he works and how he throws, like everything about him. Mm-hmm. I think Drake May is special. I just think he was in an unfortunate circumstance with the weapons not being there and North Carolina not being great. So... And let's not forget, the system changed. Like, it went from a pro-style West Coast to... Or I was like, oh, yeah, pro-style West Coast to, like, an air raid system last year. So it definitely wasn't working for him.
Yeah, and we went over the QBs in a little bit more detail.
Yeah,
a couple
you can
of
go back
ago,
and listen.
So, yeah, you can go back and listen to that if you would like to do so. But, yeah, the pro days... You know, it's interesting because we had pro days without Marvin Harrison Jr., no Brock Bowers. So, to me, the pro days haven't been... as front and center as they were in the past, it feels like, which is a little bit different than years prior. So that's something that's changing the process a little bit. I get it. Like Marv's like, yeah, my tape is my tape.
I love it because people are doubting Marv now. They're like, wait, why isn't he working? Why? It's like,
he doesn't
come
need
on.
To.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to. He's fine. And we'll talk about Marv next week and some of the things that we love about him and Neighbors and Adunze and all these guys, Brian Thomas, like we talked about. But yeah, so interesting pro day stuff. I think Brock Bowers is still going to do a workout. It's not going to be a pro day. So, you know, we'll get you the deets on that as well.
It's tax season, so he's got a lot of work there. So
him and Hunter Renfro just linked up.
Yep.
So they're going to work on taxes together.
They get their hair done. They get their hair done at Sports Clips, and then they go to H&R Block and work.
Yeah, Bowers and Renfro, LTD. That's where it's at. let's get in. We did have a couple of signings. Nothing major here, but obviously if you've got these guys on your roster, it breathes a little bit of life into them. You know, Cordero Patterson signed a two-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know who their new OC is, right? It's Arthur Smith. He's familiar with Cordero Patterson. They've got Najee Harris. They've got Jaylen Warren. Maybe he's just the return guy. They'll probably use him all over the place like they did a couple years ago. Still a solid NFL player, CPAT. So I get this signing. It gives them a little bit of depth and a little bit of versatility, and Arthur Smith is familiar with him, so that makes sense. I'm not worried about Najee or Jaylen Warren's value here at all. And then the Browns signed Donta Foreman to back up Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong. We still don't know what's going on with Nick Chubb. I mean, he injured that left knee pretty badly again, so I think this is an interesting signing. I feel that if Nick Chubb was in good shape, they probably would have drafted a running back maybe. I think they're kind of protecting their butts because Nick Chubb and Donta Foreman have a very similar game, very physical runners. Jerome Ford, more elusive, a little bit better of a pass catcher out of the backfield, as is Pierre Strong. So that was an interesting signing for me. You know, Donta Foreman, wherever he goes the last couple of years, he's been successful. He had a couple of 100-yard games last year, and then the year before with Carolina, he looked great, I thought, you know, especially coming off that Achilles injury. We've still got a bunch of veteran running backs that aren't signed. You know, Kareem Hunt, unfortunately, Cam Akers, Dobbins, which Dobbins did work out for the Chargers this week, it looks like, which would be great funny fit if he went there, because it would be Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins again.
Working with Greg Roman.
And then they'll draft Blake Corum, and it'll be a hot mess. So, so keep an eye out for Dobbins. I mean, there's rumors that the Cowboys might work him out. Now there's rumors that, you know, Zeke might be interested in a reunion with the Cowboys. I would like that because I think that's a good fit. I thought Zeke looked pretty good last year for the Patriots, considering their offense was shit and their offensive line was shittier. So Zeke to the Cowboys, that wouldn't surprise me on a cheap deal to bring Zeke home. I know him and Dak are close, so I could see that happening. I mean, there's still some free agents out there. You know, Michael Gallup hasn't signed with the team, and there's some other former big names in the dynasty circles. It's interesting to me that, like, Michael Gallup doesn't get signed by anybody, but Devontae Parker gets released, and then a day later he's an Eagle. Like, what?
It's science.
It's total science. So that's about it for news. And like I said, we'll keep you up to date on that as we go here week to week. I did want to give a shout out to Trophy Smack. If you have rolled over your leagues, congratulations. And if you haven't gotten your trophy yet, you're doing it backwards. You got to get your trophy, give it to your champ, then roll over your leagues, whether you're on MFL, Sleeper, whatever you happen to play on, check that out. But Trophy Smack has the best belts, trophies, everything in the business. They got stuff for losers of your league too. When you use code DHHRING, you'll save, you'll get a free ring at checkout, which is a $60 value when you buy a trophy or a belt. So check out trophysmack.com. They're backed up by Mark Cuban of Shark Tank, and they run an absolutely awesome business. So shout out to them. Our longest sponsor on here on DHH. So yeah, great guys, Matt and team at Trophy Smack. All right, Tyler, I'm ready to talk running backs, and I'm going to give you my overview on this running back class, because I know a lot of people are really down on it. They're like, there's no elite running backs. Okay, and that's fine. I get that. There's no Bijans this year. There's no Jahmyr Gibbs. I get all that. But I have looked at this class, and there's a lot of really, really solid players in this class. And I think that it'll be interesting the way the NFL values these rookie running backs. I think we probably won't see one get picked until sometime between pick 50 and 60.
Hold on. Audric Estime just actually finished his 40 just now. Congrats.
Oh, nice. Was he challenging Kyron Williams?
No, actually, he beat Kyron by 0.4 seconds.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. He did run faster at his pro day, so that was good.
Yeah.
But I like a lot of these players in this class, not to be the next stud, but I think there's a lot of players that'll just be very, very solid for your fantasy teams. Like a lot of RB2 flex guys. And I'm perfectly okay with that, because these running backs, I'm looking at all these mocks And you're going to have your Jonathan Brooks. If he gets the draft capital and he goes to the Cowboys, he'll be a first rounder. You know, Trey Benson will be an early second rounder. And then you've got a bunch of guys that from 205 to middle of the third round, there's a lot of players I like. We're going to talk about some of them today, like your Blake Corums, your Marshawn Lloyds, Will Shipley, Jalen Wright. There's just a lot of solid players. So for me, if I have a dynasty team where I don't invest heavily in running backs, and I do have a couple of those, and I have a couple of second round picks, the value is going to fall to you because this class is so deep at wide receiver. It's deep at quarterback. So it's gonna push running backs down the board, which to me, I don't want to invest a lot in running backs to begin with, because we know if you get 3-4 years out of them, you're lucky. You know, if you get anything longer than that, then awesome. But 3-4 years is what you're looking for. So if you can get a guy in the mid second to mid fourth, because there's a lot of running backs in this class, that's the way to do it. Stash them on your taxi. Injuries happen. Look how many running backs played last year that didn't really have any fantasy value. And then all of a sudden you're like, Zamir White, you're starting, and like, he's winning you weeks, you know, because of opportunity. And you drafted him in probably the late third or fourth round in your rookie class. Like, and I think a lot of these prospects are better than Zamir White. So just an example, but it's going to be a very interesting class, and I want to talk all about it. Tyler, you don't like this class. So I talked to how I enjoy it because of the value, and I like a lot of the players. What's your take on the class?
I just fear we're looking at a lot of backup and hopefully injuries kick in type situations with these running backs. I would say there's maybe 3 or 4 that could end up in decent situations, but the way the free agent running back class went, it just says to me that the NFL teams looked at it and was like, hey, let's spend a little extra because none of these guys are going to be the star we need. Like, in my opinion, I think the best bang for the buck right now is Jalen Wright, but he's rising up draft boards.
He is.
He's the explosive athlete that I think is like the Devin Achan type player that can take any carry to the house. And now people are looking at it like, okay, I've done a rookie draft and I've seen the second round. Guys, the second round without landing spots is not pretty. It's not. Like, I get everybody said get those second round picks, but we're really hoping these running backs land in great situations. And I'll tell you what, year in and year out, we're very disappointed by landing spots. Maybe 2 or 3 pop up and you're like, yes, there it is. Perfect. Evan Hall, for prime example, was like, hey, we like the player. We like the landing spot. He had an injury. Now what's happening?
And I think something else that's going to push running backs down the board is that people are going to get too caught up in draft capital. Like if Braylon Allen gets picked in round 4,
love him.
People are going to be off of him because they're like, oh, he only got round 4 draft capital. Not realizing that like in today's running back environment, round 4 draft capital isn't terrible. Like, yeah, it's really not. Like, so but for me, if a guy gets picked in the 4th or 5th round, if it's a player that I like, even if the spot isn't great, but if someone gets drafted by Baltimore and he's behind Derrick Henry, who might be there for a year, or he's behind Josh Jacobs, which ultimately signed a 1-year deal with, you know, team options. Like,
and AJ Dillon, I mean.
Oh, Quadzilla. I mean, you can't mess with him. But or Minnesota, like Aaron Jones will be there for a year. There's going to be a lot of these opportunities that I think people won't really, they won't look far enough into the future. With this, they're just going to take like, oh, he went to Minnesota, he's not going to play at all this year. And it's like, okay, well, there's a chance he can, like, play next year.
Like in Allen's case, that's a good situation. He's 20 years old. He's super young. You know, he's got Trent Tyler on the tire. People's love child, Isaac Grendo. Like, if he lands in Minnesota, he's going to be 26 next year.
People
like,
didn't even know who he was until he tested. So like,
That's the thing. Like, okay, he's 26 next year. Like, that's, we're talking about
a lot of older. And here's another thing. There's a lot of older running back prospects. Ray Davis is another one that's going to be 25. And
how's Trey Benson? You're the Florida State guy.
He's young. I think he's 21 or 22. Okay. I'm not too worried about, like, and we'll talk about it as we go. But one of the things, there is older prospects because that's just the way college. I mean, we see it at quarterback, Penix and Nix. Those guys are older. Because they've been in the college for so long, because they can transfer and all this other jazz. The running back's the same way. And again, I don't care as much. Ray Davis, I like a lot. And if I can get him in the 4th round of rookie drafts, which is where he's going now, and like I can get like 3 years out of him, I don't care. Like, that's all I need. And Ray Davis is a guy that could take over a backfield potentially. He goes to Carolina or something. Like, and then all of a sudden, he's a really good running back for them. And I don't care if it's only 3, maybe 4 years, because I spent a third or fourth round pick on him.
Like, yeah, Marshawn Lloyd is another really good running back that I think in this class. Like, I'd go Blake Corum, Trey Benson, Brain Allen, and Jordan Brooks, Jalen Wright, like, these guys I really like. And Will Shipley is another player that if he lands in the right situation where he can be, catch passes.
Yes.
But then there's guys like Kendall Milton, who, yeah, he's older, who didn't run a great 40, but I think he is a decent running back prospect. He was a high recruit coming out. He went to Georgia and got some carries there. He's kind of one of those guys that you could maybe pick up in the fourth, even a free agent. But this class,
Bucky Irving, I know he didn't test well, but he's fun to watch on tape, like in the right spot.
Yeah. The thing with this class, and I just worry about it. That's my main thing, is I worry that we're stuck in the Royce Freeman, the Devontae Booker type area where we're like, oh, these,
well, those guys went in the first round. So in rookie drafts.
Yes. But there's going to be like Trey Benson's already talking about being late first, just because of how he in the combine. Jalen Wright, if he stays in the end of the second, that will be the guy I'm going to aim for. He's one of the guys that I think can definitely hit. Will Shipley is another guy, late second. And Blake Corum, I think, will be in that early to mid second. But I really like Blake Corum as a running back. When I first watched him, my mind instantly was like, Devonta Freeman. That's who he is. Boom. Small guy. Excellent vision, really good in between the tackles, can slide through tiny holes and really burst through. And yeah, he's not fast in the open field. Neither was Devonta Freeman, but he still broke big plays just because he knows angles and he's a smart football player. So yep. I really like Blake Corum. But
yeah,
I think
there's when you said undrafted with a lot of guys, there's a lot of guys in this class, like Isaiah Davis, there's Dylan Lobb. We talked about Cody Schrader, Kamani Vidal, Frank Gore Jr. Like, these are guys that, like, if you have a fifth round of rookie drafts, which I know some of us do, these are like perfect fifth round guys that have good prospect profiles. They put good football on tape. They're good football players. And those are guys that, like, especially this year, like, I feel that are going to be available late, and they're perfect guys to put on your taxi squad. And then, because we know running back position is a war of attrition, like, you never know when a guy's going to get a shot. So I like this class for that. I like the top 10 guys. And then after that, it's, you know, it's a little bit more of a crapshoot, but there's a lot of names that I like. Yeah. Yeah. In that 10 to 20 range for running backs.
And I think the thing is, everybody's expecting the running backs to get good draft capital. I do think that what you're talking about, these running backs will be pushed down. The wide receiver class is so deep that I do think these running backs, yeah, like Ladd McConkey, I took at 112 in a pre-NFL draft. At 112, there's a chance maybe Trey Benson gets in that spot, but nobody was looking at running backs real early until like 204, 205, and that was like right when people were starting to look at running backs, because this wide receiver class is so deep. You're going to have Brock Bowers in there. If you're in Superflex, you're going to probably have Penix and Bo Nix in there.
Five quarterbacks.
Yeah, like Bo Nix... Let's be honest, he's going to be a Bronco.
Probably.
He's so smart, and he's Drew Brees. Yeah, let's not get into it. I'm so pumped for this draft, because it's going to be crazy. I think Penix, the way he ran his 40, like I would run a 40, but still ran a 4.5. That's nuts.
Yeah, he looked like he wasn't going that fast, but he was smooth.
He looked like me running. Like, I was just like jogging. It's like 4.5. I was like, what?
What? Yeah. Yeah, Penix had a nice pro day, so I think he did a lot for himself. And the whole team, the coaching staff, they love him as a leader. Like, everyone gives him the highest of praise.
Well, he's like 32 years old. He's a veteran.
Yeah, he's seen things, as they say.
He's seen some things. But going back to running back class, like, let's go over some numbers at the combine. I got them up right here. Jalen Wright, 4.38. Trey Benson shocked the world with a 4.39. Marshawn Lloyd, 4.46. People thought he'd be in the 4.5s. Mm-hmm. Ray Davis, a 4.52, which is just fine. Blake Corum, everybody thought he's going to be a 4.6, a Kyren Williams style. He came up as a 4.53. Dylan Lobb, a 4-5-4. We got Bucky Irvin. Bucky Irvin, I think, was the disappointment. People thought he'd be a 4-3, but he was a 4-5-5. He's more elusive.
And when you watch Bucky Irving's tape, he's got football speed and elusiveness. I mean, he doesn't look on tape like he's a 4-5-5 guy.
Yep.
Let him slip in drafts.
We got Cody Schrader, who ran a 4-6, which is just fine to me. He's a guy who likes to punish. He's not a guy that likes to outrun you. Kendall Milton, like I mentioned, he ran a 4-6-2, which is fine for me. And Audric Estime ran a 4-7-1, which was a 4-5-9, I think, at his combine. Audric Estime, if you've seen him play, he's a big MF-er. That is not his style. He does not need to run fast. So we talk about Kyren. Audric Estime, if I have alerts on my phone for Notre Dame, you know, whenever they score touchdowns. Audric Estime popped up on my phone all the time. 40-yard touchdown, 60-yard touchdown. Same as Kyren. Kyren was like 75-yard touchdown, 40-yard touchdown. When they get loose, their burst, because Audric Estime's vert was like 38-inch vert. It was better than Trey Benson.
It's solid, yeah.
So it shows burst. He's definitely got burst. But the top end speed might not be there. But, man, people are not going to want to tackle this guy because he's built. He's huge. So I think this running back class definitely helped himself with the combine. Like, I mean, look at Wright's broad jump.
Wright is a freak.
Yeah, 11-2. Like, people are like, Isaiah Garendo, 10-9. Oh, my God. Jalen Wright, 11-2. He literally broke the damn thing. Like,
yeah,
he's explosive. But once again, Jalen Wright, if he gets drafted.
Jalen Wright reminds me a little. We were talking about Cordarrelle Patterson earlier because he's got long legs. Like, he looks like he has unnaturally long legs for a running back. He doesn't have the short, stocky legs. He's got long, muscular legs, which reminds me of Cordarrelle Patterson.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's what he's going to be used as. He's going to be Devon Achane style, 10 carries. He's going to be a guy that they're going to want the home run at because he can give you that home run. It was shown in college and it's shown now. So, yeah. Like, I know we're not going into depth, into too much depth here with like player by player, but that's how this class is. Like, after Henderson left and went back to Ohio State, we all knew this wasn't going to be the class. Like, Braylon Allen, 26 reps. Yeah. Like, Braylon Allen, 26 reps. Dude, strong. Like, he's 20 years old, and he started playing college football at 17. Like, he is the guy that I think is the one we should really be looking at as the high-profile prospect.
And in mocks, I mean, we don't know what his NFL draft stock is going to be, but in mocks, I continuously see him wind up end of the second or early third. And to me, that's kind of crazy. Like,
his tape is so good.
In a typical year, like, he's going to be a first-round pick, like, I feel, in a traditional year, like, where we don't have 50 good receivers and 10 good quarterbacks. I'm being facetious.
And,
but,
like, Blake Corum, 27 reps. Dude strong. Muscle hamster, 2.0. Marshawn Lloyd, 25 reps. We have Audric Estime, 23. Lob, 23. Like, Lob's that Evan Hull-esque style, sneaky
Lob's
athlete.
Like Danny Woodhead, but a little bit juiced up Danny Woodhead.
First one in, last one out.
Oh, you know, lunch pail guy.
Lunch pail guy.
Lob's just a good complete player. Like, he's the kind of guy that, like, I can see him chipping away and him, same with Schrader. Like, I can see them working so hard that coaches love them and they start to get work.
Yeah. And if you think about it, guys like, we still value Ramondre Stevenson very high, and he was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Everybody was writing him off. He was like 250 pounds at Oklahoma, lost a bunch of weight. Now he's like 225, keeps
his
vision
and footwork is amazing.
Yeah. And he wasn't really like, I think his vision was what he was known for in Oklahoma when I watched him. Mm-hmm. But like I comped him to LeGarrette Blount the way he played, because LeGarrette Blount was a massive giant that could, you know, dance on his toes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. You know, it's interesting. I think if Brooks didn't tear his ACL, because I think that scares too many people off. He's my running back one regardless in this class. I really like what I've seen from Brooks. I know that he was behind Bijan and Roshan and all the other ons. But he's looked great.
Carry on.
I was watching Dynasty Nerds, and Garrett Price was like, and I was watching film on Brooks, and I was like, man, he reminds me of Aaron Jones. And then Garrett Price was like, my comp for him is Aaron Jones. And I was like, all right, we see the same thing, because I see a lot of Aaron Jones in his game. And that's not a bad thing at all, because I freaking loved Aaron Jones coming out of UTEP. I drafted him in the third round everywhere, and it paid off really well for me, which is great. So for me, I have late firsts, early seconds in a lot of leagues, and I'm praying that Jonathan Brooks makes it to me, because I think he's a smash at like the 201. If he gets drafted in the top two rounds, like I will hit the button on Brooks really, really fast.
He fits today's NFL perfectly, kind of what we want in the NFL. He's also very young, so you don't need to worry about the ACL.
And he doesn't have a lot of mileage.
Not a lot of mileage.
He's like Tyler's mattress. Not a lot of mileage. It's a comfortable pick. You'll get a good night's sleep if you draft Jonathan Brooks.
That's true. No, it's definitely an interesting class. I like Braylon Allen. Jonathan Brooks is right there, and Wright are probably the three I like, and Blake Corum. Trey Benson, his profile to me seems off. You watch his tape, he doesn't have that home run type speed, but then yet his combine showed otherwise. Like, he's a very powerful back. People thought he'd just be a power guy, but then all of a sudden runs a 4.39.
His yards after contact numbers are very, very good. I think they're the first or second best in the class. Trey Benson's interesting. I watch a lot of Florida State football. And, you know, Trey Benson was hyped up as being like the next Dalvin Cook for Florida State. And he had some games where he was very, very good. But he also had some games where he sucked.
He also tore his ACL, was it?
The year before.
He had like two major injuries, or was it just one?
Yeah, he was fine this year. But even when he was healthy this year, I didn't think he was as good as I thought he should be. He struggled a little bit with, I mean, he's hard to take down on the first tackle, but I think his vision needs some work. I think that he chose, like, his footwork is pretty good, but he doesn't cut like sharply and confidently. And I think that's something that he needs to work on. I think he's good out of the backfield as far as catching passes. To me, like, he did show some explosion. He had some explosive plays. He just wasn't consistent. And I think that's one of the things. I don't think he's necessarily like a trap per se. But I have some questions about Trey Benson that I think a lot of other people are just kind of maybe not acknowledging. Maybe they're just watching highlights of Trey Benson. But if you watch some of the games, the big games that Florida State was in this year, where you're like, oh, he should take over, and he just didn't. You know, we had a lot of like 10 for 30 type of performances where you're just like, where is it? So inconsistencies in his profile. Athletically, he tested better than I thought he would. So that was good to see. So he's a very polarizing prospect for me, because he's not Cam Akers. He's not Dalvin Cook coming out of Florida State to me.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting, and definitely for me, the running backs are a lot more landing spot dependent for me this year than they ever have been. Next year it'll be better. There's probably like four running backs that are more top tier than this class, but for sure, I need to see where players land, like the Jalen Wright and Braylon Allen, before I get all hyped up and excited.
I will tell you this, though, because the mindset I know you're saying is like the landing spot, and while it's important, I think as we go and we evaluate these players, I think we get caught up sometimes in dynasty. Now, when you're in a draft and people are going to have that mindset of like, oh, he didn't go to this great spot, so he's going to slip. Those are the kind of players that I want to draft, because if my evaluation on a player and I have confidence in that, I'm still going to take the player regardless of the landing spot. Because at the end of the day, landing spot is a factor. But remember, it's dynasty. Most of these guys are probably going to sit on my taxi squad for at least a year or two. The running back, we just saw 12 running backs change teams in free agency, starters, and they're all starting for different teams. So the openness of the running back position and the way that running backs are used in 2024 are a lot different than we're used to. So I'm going to rely on my evaluations when it comes draft day. And if players slide because landing spot and they make it to me and like, okay, Marshawn Lloyd in the third round, like, okay, I really like Marshawn Lloyd. I'm going to take him because I believe in him as a player. So that's kind of like where my mindset is, because I think when you think that way, you can find gaps to use to your advantage in your rookie drafts. Because I know some people get caught up on draft capital. Some people get caught up on landing spots. Some people get are caught up on this, that, or the other thing. And that's, you have your own process. I have mine. But I think a lot of times we can, the margins are pretty thin sometimes, but you can gain value by just going with your assessment of the player. And if they're a good player and you really like them, just draft them regardless of where they landed.
Yeah, I think for me,
it's the AJ Brown thing.
Well, that's the thing. For me,
best example.
For me, though, like running backs are, I'll put them as a more landing spot dependent. Wide receivers, it's talent for me. If they're talent and I see it, I'm taking them because I'm going to take the talent over, because talent always rises to the top in the pecking order when it comes to receivers. But when it comes to running backs, if there's an old dog in the kennel, like a Derrick Henry, and Marshawn Lloyd lands with Baltimore, there ain't no way Derrick Henry's giving up carries to Marshawn Lloyd. Like Mitchell will get carries more than Marshawn Lloyd in that backfield, just because he's been on the team and, you know, the team knows him. Like that's how running backs are.
Mitchell was a rookie last year. We didn't expect anything from him.
Yeah, but it took a long time, even though he showed, it took a long time to get over 10 carries.
Sure.
And that's the thing with running backs. Like, I agree. They're going to get, if they get pushed down, I'm going to take a guy like a Braylon Allen, somebody who I like that I think can be a difference maker for a team that can come out of nowhere and prove their point. But other than that, like, I think I'm just out. Like, give me, and another thing is these Puka Nacua last year type thing, they're going to push running backs down even more because people are going to follow the trends
the
and be
Puka,
like,
the next Puka, who is it?
Brendan Rice is Puka Nacua. Like, oh, Brendan Rice, he's a fifth round pick, son of Jerry. So
oh, man, he's got the lineage.
I'm going to be honest with you, a little sneak peek. I'd really like Brendan Rice.
So, oh, I like Brendan Rice too. Yeah.
And like Frank Gore.
It's going to take someone deeper than that to be the next Puka.
Yes. Like Puka. Yeah. I mean, if you liked Puka, even with me, you did not expect Puka to be this good. I expected him to get play, but I thought like 700 yards, maybe
like
four touchdowns.
People have been like comparing like Ricky Pearsall could be this year's Puka. You got to deeper than that to get to Puka. Like you have to go deeper. There's a couple of receivers, and we'll talk about it next week. There's a receiver in this draft that I think could be this draft's Terry McLaurin. That he's a guy that didn't have outstanding production in college because he played for a big college. He's got really good tape and draft capital. He might go third, fourth round. We'll see. But to me, if he does, he's the next Terry McLaurin. And I'm going to take him in the fourth round of rookie drafts because that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, same. It's kind of like a Deontay Johnson. He was a mid-third, early fourth round guy. Mm-hmm. And when the Steelers take a wide receiver in the second or third round, you just listen. Like, that's it.
Except for like Limus Swede back in the day.
Oh.
That was a bad
one. Yeah. But yeah, and my last question for you with this whole running back class, is this a class that after year one and they do blow up like a Damian Pierce and they were a fourth round pick, do you sell?
I mean, if it's a player that I wasn't a huge fan of, I wasn't a big Damian Pierce guy. So if there's a player on my roster like a Damian Pierce and I drafted him because the value was there and I was like, I'll take Damian Pierce, whatever, because he had a lot of buzz going into
the
draft.
Like 208. 206, 208.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's a guy that gains value, I'm going to sell him if I don't necessarily believe in his profile or him as a player. If it's a player that I believe in that blows up and I think can be consistent with it, then I'm probably going to hold on to him unless I get a really good offer. Because I tend to, if there's players that I believe in or that I really like that I'm sold on, I'll tend to hold on to those guys a little bit tighter unless I get an offer that it's like, okay, like I'll do that. Like if I can take a running back in the mid to late second and someone offers me a late first, like,
yeah,
okay,
25 first,
I'm going to cash out and take the value. Wide receivers are different and we all know why. We don't have to go over that, but at running back, you know, if I've got like, I might walk out of some of these drafts with three or four running backs. And if two of them hit, like, yeah, I might cash out on that. Like, we'll see. You know, you have to treat running backs like every other player, like a stock. They're just a little bit more of a short-term stock and more volatile than the wide receiver position, the tight end, or even quarterback. So they're just a little bit more, they can be a little bit more, chancy with the stock, but they can pay off big. So
yeah, they're the Zoom stocks. Back when COVID was big, Zoom took off.
Yeah, it did. It zoomed, if you will.
Yeah, I'm out. Like, if I draft a player at 208 and say midseason they're blown up and somebody's like, I'll give you a 25 first, see ya. Like, that's this class for me.
Yeah. Unless it's a player I love and I'm like, no, I'm going to hold because I think it's going to be good for multiple years.
If it's an Allen, I probably still would do it because just your ROI is fine. You're getting a first, and next year's running back class should be better, which I think next year's class, they're going to filter out 4 or 5 running backs for sure.
Yeah, and we're also seeing the running back position churn in the NFL. So it's the running back position is just really volatile. I mean, especially, you know, this year with the draft class and the free agency, like we talked about, and just like there's guys still on the street that probably should still be in the league, but they're not right now.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in years past. It's probably last 3 years. It's been a changing landscape. Because there's just a lot of talent at the position. Everyone's got two solid running backs, it seems like.
I think a lot of people that draft running backs are contenders, and I think a lot of people that are contenders would rather trade a second for Derrick Henry or Joe Mixon than draft somebody that's unknown in the second. Like, I think that's the route people are going now with Dynasty, just because they're okay with giving up their shot at glory and just getting a 2-year type player.
Sure.
Which is a perfect strategy if you're a contender.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And, I was looking at, we've rolled almost all of our leagues over now, and everyone's trade bait is older players, older running backs, older wide receivers, and they're just looking for seconds. So, you know, if you have those second-round picks, you know, and you're a win-now team, I know I've been active with trading some older players recently and trying to kind of reset my team a little bit, you know, for depth and youth and stuff like that. And it's because it's like, you know, you have those older players on your roster, and you're just deathly afraid that, like, you're not going to move them, and then they're going to rot. Yeah, they have no value.
And like right now,
oh, I got Alshon Jeffrey. I can't move him, and then he's dead.
Like right now, is the perfect opportunity for the late first, early second round pick values, because I think right now they're valued high because people are like, ooh, I could get so and so. But I'll tell you what, after the draft, those picks will diminish a little bit. The hype will definitely drop down, and people will be like, oh, do I like that landing spot or not?
I don't know. In super flex leagues, I don't think so. Because if you're going to have 5 quarterbacks that go in the first round, people are going to be like, those late firsts are going to turn into quarterback picks. Because everyone needs quarterbacks.
Yep.
Everybody needs freaking quarterbacks. So for me, if that happens and I have seconds, I'm like, yes. Because those are just better players that are making their way to me.
Here's what you do right now. If you need a quarterback, just go trade for Brock Purdy. Give up 108. That's what you do.
I mean, you're not wrong. Will 108 get you Purdy? I don't know.
With the draft type coming up, I heard on a podcast that they would rather have J.J. McCarthy than a lot of these quarterbacks just because of the youth and the upside. It's like, but you have the production right here.
Bird in the hand, right? Like,
it was Jared Goff or 108 was the question. Jared Goff or JJ McCarthy? And I'm like, aren't you hoping for JJ McCarthy to become Jared Goff? Like,
I would take Goff. Give me the established guy that's in a good
Goff
offense 100%. That has weapons all over the place.
Are we even sure Brian Johnson's going to get a head coaching job anymore because of what has happened in this process for 2 straight years? Or is he just going to stay
pissing people off?
Yeah. Or is he going to stay a Kyle Shanahan OC style until 5-6 more years and then finally get
or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, people don't look at that. Like, Kyle Shanahan, oh, great offensive mind. It took him a long time to get a head coaching shot because people thought he was an arrogant douche. Do you remember that?
Yes. Because his dad, you know, he's nepotism and all that jazz. Like, we see in the NFL all the time, for sure. Yeah. It's going to be interesting because I'm starting to look at leagues, and here's a pro tip. Look at leagues where you see like where these tiers are going to fall. And if you feel that you're outside, like if you're at like 109 right now, and McCarthy, I think, has made it enough so there's like a big eight, like a tier of like
unless
eight
you players. Absolutely love Brian Thomas.
Unless you absolutely love Brian Thomas, and I'm 50-50 on Thomas.
Mid. God, we're so cool.
I start to look at, all right, if I have the 109, what can I package with the 109 to move up to the 107 or the 106 to secure that elite prospect that I want to get into? Because if you do it now, the chances are better. Once the draft happens and there's names associated with, or after the, forget about it. It's going to be impossible.
Oh, 100%.
Because once landing spots are in there, people will get locked in. And then once they draft a player, once there's a name next to that 107, oh, I want to trade for Romo Dunze. It would have been easier to trade for the 107 than to trade for Romo Dunze.
Like right now.
That is just how it works. So if you're looking at leagues, there's a single QB league that I'm in where we're drafting at the 105. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, the top four is going to be Marv. It's going to be Malik Nabers. It's going to be Brock Bowers. It's going to be Romo Dunze. What do we do at the 105? It's a single QB.
Up.
Do I want to draft Caleb? No. I got Burrow and Fields. I'm fine with that in a single QB. You try and trade up. So I sent my co-manage this team with my cousin and I said, hey, should we send the 105, the 205, and something for the 103 and the two, like a later second and something else? He hasn't responded to me yet, but I was like, I want to get ahead of it. So if I can get up to the 103 now, like, because it's going to be impossible to do in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like virtually impossible. And I don't want to be that, like, I guess I'll take Brooks or Brian Thomas at the 105. I'm not thrilled with that. I would rather get into that elite tier of players if I can, even giving up a mid second round pick. That it's that important to me.
Yeah.
Because we have a really good team to begin with. So I'm like, I want to get into that and secure one of these elite assets.
I love
your teams now.
That is probably the best strategy, because if you saw me last year in a league, we're in UDPL. I moved from the 109, or it was like 110 to 108, then 108 to 106.
I traded the 108. Brr.
Because I wanted to get in that Jahmyr Gibbs range. I thought 106 last year was the cutoff, and it pretty much was. And I got Gibbs at 106. And I was very happy, and I'm pretty sure our friend Gabe, we talked about, who traded the pick, I think they took Zay Flowers, which is fine, but it's not Jahmyr Gibbs.
Sure.
And to get there, I gave up like Kenny Pickett to get Mac Jones. It was that trade to trade up, like
the trades
you literally make to trade up may seem like a big deal, but like you said, once those players, like the second rounder, the 205, once the players solidify to that name, Jonathan Mingo, mid second last year. Are you really hitting yourself to move up? No, not at all.
No.
Like if it was like Jayden Reed or Rashid Rice, maybe. Sure. But Mingo was the like prime pick example there. So sometimes if you look back, yeah, you're kind of kicking yourself, but you got the elite asset over the mid. Yes, you want elite players because those are the players that don't lose value. They only gain value, and you're locked in for 5 to 10 years. Like that's what Dynasty is about. That's what you need to do. So I am all aboard on this, and that's why Doug in leagues with me, you see me doing the trade ups, the slight moves like I've done in comic book. I've traded up because I think Caleb is literally in a whole championship tier himself because in my opinion, he's the only slam dunk quarterback in this class.
Sure. Yeah. And it's one of those things too, is it's like there's dead time right now because free agency is over. Pro days are over for the most part. And you know, the focus is on basketball. Baseball just opened up. So check out Underdog, by the way. And use code DHH. They'll match up to $100 right now when you go on Underdog. All sorts of fun ways
to
play.
Talking about you, Otani.
Yeah. God. It was the translator. Anywho. So check out underdog.com. Use code DHH. Get that up to $100 match today. But there's like this dead time where there's not a lot of activity. And this is the perfect time to take a deep look. And we say this every year. It's also that time to go in and submit your lineup for week one. I know it sounds crazy. But think about it, because it gives you the realistic look of like, you may look on paper and be like, oh, my team looks good. But then you're like, oh, I need to start 10 players. Like, oh, I don't want to start Demario Douglas. Like, this is
says
the time
who,
to go out. Right. Yeah. This is the time to go out and maybe pay that second for a Davante Adams, because you need another solid starter with upside. And obviously he's an aging asset and that's fine. Or you're looking at like, I need to tier up because I know I can start Romo Dunze on day one versus like, I don't know if I can start Brian Thomas Jr. on day one.
Yep.
Those are the kind of things that you need to do now to prep for the season. Because again, we talked about those operating within the margins to take advantage of a situation. And these are the kind of things that you should be doing on your dynasty squads, is really looking at them, setting your lineups, being like, oh, I don't have good running back depth, or I'm not good at receiver, I need a tight end. Like, oh, I didn't realize that. Because when you look at this long list of 30 players, you're like, I'm good. And then when you go to set your lineup, you're like, shit, I'm actually not good.
Yeah, it's the one thing I like about Sleeper. I know we're MFL guys, but Sleeper does a nice job, as in it shows your lineup. Like, it right there in front of you. It shows like what that. You've got. And I like in a league that I mentioned, UDPL, I thought I was super weak at receiver, but I saw my lineup then and I'm like, you know what? I'm okay for now. I don't need to pay an arm and a leg. I don't need to pay something because I got three great tight ends, and I don't need to get rid of one of them for a wide receiver too. Hopeful, like I'm good there, and it helps you kind of be more comfortable, so you don't also draft out of position. Like, don't draft for position. Draft best player available all the time. Every time, it doesn't matter. Every time I've drafted for position, it's kicked me in the ass. So the past 3 years, I've actually drafted for best player available, and it's worked out. And I'll tell you what, it will work out every time. And that the whole looking at your lineup helps with that mindset, because it helps you be like, okay, I don't need to reach for this. And running backs, we talked about it today.
And it's something that you haven't looked at in 4 months.
Yeah. And so, running backs, like,
take a look.
And running backs, there's if you feel like you only got one running back, it's okay. Running backs will pop out of nowhere. Go buy Gus Edwards for a late second and feel comfortable with him getting 12.
Probably buy him for a third, I would say.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. That's go get cheaper assets. Like we talked about, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, those guys are pretty cheap.
Austin Eckler. Buy Brian Robinson for a mid-second.
Yeah, 100%. There's so many running backs out there. Tyler Allgeier could be a good, really, third rounder. He's going to get some touches. Yeah, Bijan's there, but Allgeier showed plenty of spark and can definitely get you some points. So
sure.
There's
by Zach Moss cheap.
No thanks. You can't make me.
I mean, I'm literally starting running backs of Chuba Hubbard and Devin Singletary in a league because I don't care.
Yeah.
And they're both productive guys. Like, they'll both be productive, but they're not they're not gonna set the world on fire. And that's okay.
100%. Yeah, go buy Keaton Mitchell. Go buy these guys that have some injury or young. There's so many running backs to just go take a chance on. Ty Chandler, Aaron Jones, is he gonna stay healthy? Who knows? Ty Chandler could be a dirt cheap buy.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. But yeah, that's a good way to wrap us up on the running back. Some little draft strategy. Some off-season tips for you to look at your roster and really, like I said, you haven't looked at it in 4 months. A lot of things change in 4 months with player values and positional needs. So make sure you take a look, because you want to be sharp. You know, we talked to Leo Pasiga a few weeks ago. He writes down notes. He's sharp. He checks this stuff. It'll give you the competitive advantage that you need over your other managers a lot of the time. And if you need to trade up into a tier, do it now.
Yes.
You can't wait. If you wait, it's too late. I'm going to get that tattooed. If you wait, it's too late.
So in the listener league, we carried it over to Sleeper. Mm-hmm. I offered him a player, Debo, for 112. And I won't say any names. He might be listening, but
it's a 14 team league.
So 112. And he's like, let me think about it. Let me see who gets drafted in that spot. And in my mind, there's a chance I might revoke it because of that. Like, just because if I see 112 and okay, I'm getting AD Mitchell, who I'm 50-50.
Troy Franklin, maybe?
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on. Give me the known commodity who's 28 years old over the hopeful. Like, that's the risk you're also taking with this. Mm-hmm. In his part, I want to kind of tell him, be like, hey, you should just accept this because there's a chance I ain't going to accept it.
Well, yeah, that's a good strategy too. But shout out to Trophy Smack as well as Underdog. I do want to give a shout out as well to Manscaped, my favorite tool that I use on a weekly basis.
Tool
for your tool. All my twig and berries. It does an awesome, awesome job. So make sure you use code DHH. You'll save 20% on manscaped.com. You'll get the Lawnmower 5.0, I believe, which, Tyler, you got to email them. I need the updated stuff. I'm almost out of ball cream, okay? I need some more. I need
How
some more.
How has that lasted you so long?
I need a resupply, all right? That's all I'm saying.
You just mixing it with water now. Just
I'm not that cheap. Jeez. Good Lord. Good Lord, I'm not that cheap. Although the poopery hot tip is if it gets low and it doesn't pump anymore, add a little bit of water to it, you get like another few weeks out of it. That's just expensive. So that's my, yeah, that's my money-saving tip of the day.
Money-saving tip.
And also, money-saving 20% off at Manscaped. It's just an awesome product. I've never had it nick or cut me. It does a great job on my beard, my face beard, my
crotch beard.
All the things. Yes, it
looks
it's
great.
Beautiful, beautiful product, Peter. So check it out. Check it out when you can. Let's wrap this thing up. Leave a review on iTunes and make sure you leave a review. Leave us some comments, things that you'd like to see. Maybe it's a new segment that you would like to see or something that we can incorporate into the show. We're always all ears, especially me, because I'm part elephant over here or bat, whatever has large ears. I can I'll do either one of them.
And I'm an anteater if we're going to go body parts that are oversized, my giant
it's
nose.
It's the bat and anteater show. Yeah. It's Gonzo and Dumbo up in this building.
Yeah.
So make sure you leave a review on iTunes. Give us some feedback. We would love that as well. We will see you next week when we talk about this very deep, very, very deep wide receiver class. It's going to be a fun one. So make sure you come back next week.
Breaking news. Carson Wentz just signed with the Chiefs.
Really?
Yes. To back up Mahomes. It's happening. No.
We'll talk about it next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.